our Lord spoke to those two on the road to Emmaus, and they turned to the Scriptures. Well, they didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John then, did they? So here's what they turned to. He expounded things concerning himself in the Scriptures. We can go back. You can have the most well-behaved children if you obey this book, and you can take them straight to hell. You can have the best marriage. And if the gas tank gets below a quarter tank, you'll go fill it up for the other one. That's kind. And you'll go straight to hell if we miss him. If we miss the person. If we see things to do. Now, we can learn a lot from it. We ought to walk towards in a way that honors God. The Lord freed us from the curse of the law, didn't he? We're free. The law is fulfilled. Now, do you go have another God than him? You cheat on your wife? Do you lie? Well, no, of course not. Don't want to, do we? That's God's holy law. We can learn a lot. And I want to go through this slow. We might have three or four messages out of Genesis 14 to finish this up. There's things, some things here we need to see, and we need to go through it slow. If you go through it too fast, you miss so much, won't you? We got three short verses here about Melchizedek. Melchizedek. And you don't hear nothing of him. You don't hear nothing of him until Psalm 110. David says something about Melchizedek, doesn't he? And then you don't hear nothing of him. Nothing of him until you get Hebrews. A couple think, well, they referred to what David said. They just said what he said. Or in chapter 5 and in chapter 7. Now we're getting something. Now we're getting some explanation. Now we're getting some understanding. We need to pay attention to this. This is important. So easy. Like, oh, there's this big war went on, and four kings went against five kings, and the four kings won, and then Abram went in with 318 men. Whooped them. Four great armies. Had the spoils of nine kings. You think that's a lot? That's a good bit. Cream of the crop. Pick what you want, isn't it? And then here comes the king of Sodom to test him in temptation. Don't seem that way. Seems so generous and kind. Seems so giving and honoring, doesn't it? I'm surprised Abram didn't scream, "Get behind me, Satan." That's what's happening. It's exactly what happens. It's a picture of what happened in the garden. And for three short verses there, in between those things, between the great victory that took place and the tempting of that evil, wicked king of Sodom, that seems so polite. There's pearls and wonderful things. It smelled so good. Look at that wonderful king. Between those two things, there was three little verses about Melchizedek. Oh, what a blessing. If the Lord will show us that. We see Abram as we went through this. He's a picture of us by nature. He went down to Egypt on purpose for himself. While he was down there for himself, he gave up his wife for himself to cover his own neck. And yet the Lord was merciful. Yet the Lord made him leave there. Pharaoh equipped him well and kicked him out. And then Abram was a picture of a wise and gracious believer. He separated with Lot. They said, "We just got too much stuff for this land." And he said, "You take the left, I'll take the right. I don't want there to be any division. I don't want there to be any controversy in this house. We're here to worship God. These Canaanites are watching us. We say we're gracious, we don't act like it. No, that ain't happening in my house. You pick whatever you want, we'll do it." He was a picture of that. Last week we saw Abram as a picture of Christ. He went in and redeemed Lot, his brother. Not his brother's son no more. Now his brother. Went and redeemed him. And all Lot had. Anything we have. Anything I have. Carnal, in this world, or spiritual. Good or bad. You got something wrong with you? Who gave it to you? God gave it, didn't he? Anything good? We consider good? God gave it. What about something bad? God gave it, didn't he? Anything we have, Christ got for us, and he gave it to us, and he protects it. How can I lose my health? I can't lose my health unless God takes part of it. How could I lose my home or my job or my family or anything? I can't. He's the protector. He gave it. He purchased it, gave it to me. He protects it. He sustains it. What about my eternal life? How am I going to lose that incorruptible seed? What if my face is smaller than a mustard seed? You put carrots in the other day and left. You mix sand with it because they'll clump together. You can't tell how many you got. tries to broadcast seed. You can't do it. Little tiny seeds can't even see them. Well, do you think you could lose a carrot seed? What if I lost my faith? That's such a common blasphemous saying. It's his faith. He gave it. He's the one that sustains it. Can't lose it. I'd lose it in a heartbeat if it was up to me to keep. He keeps it. Genesis 14, Abram's about to go through another trial. That king of Sodom's going to come and tempt Abram right after worship service is over. Did we catch that? That's important. Right after worship service is over. Thanks be to God. Between this victory and this temptation, Christ appears. Melchizedek comes to Abram. I pray our great Melchizedek will be pleased to visit with us between last week's victory and this coming week's trials. We need a prophet to tell us what God said and what God has done and what He will do. We need a priest to sacrifice for us to the Father. And we need a king to reign over us, all around us, and protect everything we have. We're Gentiles. I've told you that before. We don't get a hold of how important this high priest is. Like, you have a high priest. You're God's child, you have a high priest. Well, that's nice. What's that? That's important, what that is. That's a go-between. That's one that goes on your behalf to God. You need it. You can't go by yourself. We'll see that. Here in verse 17, Genesis 14, 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. Before the king of Sodom got a chance to speak. Imagine that. You see a king coming. Think of a worldly. I can't think of any kings. Think of the queen. The queen came walking in the park like, come talk to you. And some country bumpkin preacher come up to the side. Which one would you go after? Which one would I? Oh, we'll talk in 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes. King's here. Here comes the king to talk to Abram. Verse 18 says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, Abram, gave him tithes of all. We'll see who this was that just came to Abram. Brought Abram something. Blessed Abram. He came, as Paul wrote to us in Romans 16, and saluted him with a holy kiss. Then this high priest, blessed of God, he blessed God. Came to Abram, brought him a gift, blessed him, then blessed God, and he told what God had done. What a thing. He knew what God was going to do, this Melchizedek did. And he said, it just happened. God made it come to pass. And God did it. And then after that, Abram gave him a tenth of all that he had. Anybody ask Abram to do that? Anybody tell him to do that? Was it required? Nope. He just had a generous heart. What's that fellow going to do with it? I don't know. He gave it to him, didn't he? Think that's a lot? It's a tenth of nine kings' spoils. Gave it to him. They just had church. That's what we call in our vernacular. They just had a church service. Do you know that? Don't look like one. Don't sound like one. That's what it was. The Lord came to Abram where he had gathered Abram throughout his whole life, protecting him. All through from the Chaldees, all up to north to where he's disobedient, all the way down south, further south to Egypt where he was disobedient, brought him back, brought him through this great war, right where he wanted him, and he came to him. We're so prone to go to church when times are bad, don't we? You ever heard that in a movie? When we're in dire straits, or you ever got a child that's in big trouble? I'm going to take you to church. I'm going to take you to church. What an ignorant way of thinking. What a will works, quid pro quo way of thinking, of indebting God. What a deadly way of thinking for those people and for those children. And it's throughout, isn't it? Watch five movies, two of them will say something about it. What a mockery of God. That's where He meets His people. Here comes a trial to Abram. We spend so much time in this world. We're fighting battles. We win some, we lose some. There's highs, there's lows. And for a few moments during the week, we hear a word of the Lord. We hear God praised for accomplishing what he already promised he would do. What a privilege that. Old Brother Stoniker wrote an article one time, The Necessity of a Midweek Worship. I'm going to try to, I'll call him this week and ask him for it. Vital. It's necessary. I got to have a word from the Lord today. Get me until the next time I can get a word from the Lord. It's vital. That's a true blessing. We're blessed here. Do you know that? I happen to be the one standing up here. I'm in the same boat as you. We're fellowship. Same fellows in the same ship. God's been pleased to meet with us and reveal His Son to us. He hasn't done that everywhere else. There's churches all over, and they don't come in grace and truth. They come with do and lie. You got to do something. Christ comes in grace and truth. Boy, He's blessed us. Well, here comes the temptation, verse 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. We'll see it in a couple weeks. What's Satan want? Does he want your money? He don't give a hooey about your money. He wants God's sheep. He wants the persons. You give me them, and I'll give you everything you see off the top of this hill. Ain't gonna happen, is it? Verse 22, and Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Every bit of this, the people and the things, this is his. I might be in charge of it for right now, but this is his. That I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. Those people that ain't God's people that he used to help me, yeah, they can do what they want. But for my house, we ain't taking nothing from you. You forget it. That's a beautiful picture and lessons for us for a time to come. But you imagine this, that king, you just saved his neck. Abram just saved the neck of the king of Sodom. And here he comes offering you all the spoils that you currently already have possession of. And you going to give me this glass of water? I done got it. He comes to Abram and said, you keep all that good stuff, I'll just take the people. Abram just defeated four kings with 318 men. What's one king going to do to him? Yet the trial wasn't about might, was it? It was about permission. We'll see the trial in the garden too. It's okay. You put your trust in all those possessions. I'll let you. It's okay. And I won't come and take them. You keep what's yours. Keep the ground you've already gained. It's all right. We like having somebody tell us all right, don't we? You'll get on a roller coaster and you say, is this seatbelt going to hold me? And that little teenager working there says, oh no, it's fine. It's going to be all right. Oh, he said so. What's he know about that? It might be. It might not be. We like to hear it's all right, don't we? What a temptation. How could Abram handle such a thing? How could I handle being offered something that my flesh would just love? That my old man would just desire and be so happy in? How could I do that? The Lord had just set Abram's affections on things above. He came to him right before that trial and revealed Christ to him, is what it was. He just stirred up Abram's pure mind. I need that every hour. We all do. We all do. Well, it's Melchizedek. Is this really Christ appearing before him in some body, in some form, before he was coming to this earth and that body that was made for him? Is this a pre-incarnate appearance? That's what the big word people say. Did he show up before he came? Old writers have some varying ideas. You go spend, just dust off him old books of men of old that wrote these things, and they will drowned you in information of who lived where and how long it was and everything else. And they said, this couldn't have been Christ. This was as if Christ. This was the Lord Jesus Christ. They want him all bad if they can. I'll tell you plainly. Christ came and spoke to Abram. I want to show you some things why I'm convinced of that. I think this is Christ. You know why? Because that's what it says. And at the end of it, you be the judge. You go home and say, well, let's see. Now, is this really Christ or is this somebody else? I think we'll have our answer. What is this name, Melchizedek? Boy, there's a whole lot to a name, isn't there? The king. It's a two-part name. King. We understand what that is? That's the boss. King. That's the owner. That's the possessor. King of right. King of righteousness. Melchizedek, King of Righteousness. That's the literal translation. What a king, huh? Verse 18 there. It says, Melchizedek, King of Salem. That's Shalom. The word's peace. There's the King of Righteousness. The King of Peace. You think that's talking about a man? Salem, Massachusetts doesn't stir up peace in my mind, does it, you? That's what Salem means. Shalom, peace, doesn't it? That's what man does with it. Melchizedek, King of Salem, the King of Righteousness, the King of Peace. Who could that be? Who could be named such a thing? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's him. Who made him king? Uh-oh. Who made Christ king? We'll read later on in Hebrews 7. He always was king. Melchizedek was. Why? Because Christ has always been king. It says, let Christ be the king of your heart. You can't let him do nothing. He already is king. go up to the Queen of England and say, I think I'm going to let you be queen. They'd laugh you out of the palace, wouldn't they? Something's wrong with it. Get them on medication. Get them out of here. Something. They're crazy. He always has been king. What's a true king? A king owns it all. It's all his. A king of righteousness and a king of peace. He owns both. You can't take it from him. He gives it. You can't buy it off of him. He gives it. How's somebody going to get righteousness? You have to have that. You have to have a holy nature and not have the ability to sin, to be in God's presence. Where are you going to get that from? The King of Righteousness. People want peace in this earth. Do you want peace? Do you want to have a calm spirit? Like, I just want relief. I want to rest. I want to be calm. I just want to be content. I truly want to have contentment. I want to go sit underneath a shade tree and eat a ham sandwich and be content. Where do you think you're going to get peace from? The King of Peace. It's the only place. You might think you got peace for a minute or two, and it's going to rust, and it's going to get old, and it's going to rot. It'll start stinking. It'll burn up at the end, not his peace. Natural man says, I will not have this man reign over me. Sounds good to me. That's the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace. I want to know something about him. The natural man will say, I'll do it myself. I can make my own peace and I'll make my own righteousness. I can keep a day. I can clean myself. I can do something. Something. I won't have his finished work. I'll keep my own day of rest. I'll keep my own righteousness. I'll keep my own peace. What's that? It's saying I won't have this man reign over us. And in verse 18 it says, and he was in italics, isn't it? And he, the priest of the Most High God. He's the priest of the Most High God. He was a priest. He is priest. And he will always be the Most High God's priest. The King of Peace and Righteousness. He is also the high priest forever. That's a definite article, the. He's not a priest. There's been a mess of priests throughout time. There's been a bunch of high priests too, hasn't there? The Lord ordained that through the lines of Aaron and the house of the tribe of Levi. There's been a bunch of them. That's their job. He gave it to them. This is the priest. The priest. Little words in the scripture are not to be looked over, are they? The Lord put them there on purpose. And some people find little words and they'll stumble over them. And other people, his sheep will go and see it and say, well, what comfort. This is the priest. I don't need one. I don't need a copy of one. I need the main one. The priest. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7. This king here is also our high priest. Hebrews 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abram gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. The writer goes on there to tell us how the Levites are a picture of Christ, our high priest, and the law had preeminence. If the law had preeminence over Melchizedek, the Lord would have been called the priest after the order of Aaron, wouldn't it? No, he's called a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Look, last time, Abram being like that one who went in and bound a strong man of a house. He just won the victory, greater than any other victory you could think of. And Melchizedek comes, and Abram willingly and cheerfully gives a tenth to everything he had. Why? This one appearing before him is the very one who will give himself as a sacrifice. That's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world standing in front of him. Give him some. Honor him. You think he gave a tenth of his prayers? I bet he get more than a tenth of his prayers, didn't he? I was singing. He sung 90% country western songs and 10% hymns. No, I bet he sung more than 10%, didn't he? Down in verse 24. But this man, Hebrews 7:24, but this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, came like me, became a man, who he's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. But he did this once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, this eternal promise, which was since the law, this is before the law, maketh the Son, capital S, who is consecrated forevermore. How was he priest? Was that according to the law? Isaac wasn't even born yet. Jacob wasn't even born yet. They wasn't 12 tribes of Israel yet. The Levites hadn't been born yet. Right. The law hadn't been given yet. And it said, this is a priest. The high priest. God's high priest. He's forevermore, isn't he? Our high priest is not weak. He's not frail. He's not flippant like a man. Our high priest is king. We need a high priest. We have the high priest, and that high priest is king. What if we could enter into that? Saul tried that, didn't he? This one's both. This one's both. Christ is both. He's our high priest and he's our king. Saul tried that in 1 Samuel 13. He didn't want to wait for Samuel. He waited 7 days. And he said, well, he ain't coming. Give me that sacrifice. I'll do it myself. As soon as he did it, Samuel came over the hill. And he said, thou hast done foolishly. The Lord will take your throne from you. That was pretty lenient compared to what happened to Uzziah. Remember him? Here's the king. He's going to burn incense. And 50-some prophets stood out front and said, king, we love you. You're our king. This ain't your job. Leave it alone. Don't do it. Don't do it. We love you. Don't do this. He said, give me that incense burner. I'll do it anyway. And immediately he was touched with leprosy on his forehead. Leprosy struck him. His struck Until he died. Unlike Miriam, she just had a sour word to say. The Lord struck her for 7 days and then took it from her. Moses' sister. Uzziah had it till he died. We're not yet what we shall be. Can you imagine that? Being made a king and a priest. We're going to be made like Christ. That's what it tells us in Revelation 5, isn't it? They sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Boy, that ain't a high position to attain. That's a humble position, isn't it? Why? What did it take to get you there? Christ had to die. This great king and high priest had to lay himself down, had to give his own blood, that we could be made one with him. Be made like unto him. He's king and priest. He's both. All right, well, he's prophet also. Back in Genesis 14. Because Melchizedek was the was the King of righteousness and peace. He was the high priest, God's high priest. He was a prophet as well. Genesis 14:19. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." He said, "You're blessed, Abram. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand." He said, "This is what God's done." If a man's going to speak on behalf of God, he's going to say, "Thus saith the Scriptures." What's God say? If you here today, God did it. You think I'm telling the truth? I know I am. You know what's going to happen? He's going to save everyone that he was given before time was. And he shall lose none. God's going to save his people. He's going to bring us through trials, and he's going to bring us through joy. He's going to let us cry on each other's shoulder, and he's going to let us jump up and down, hug each other out of happiness. How could I say such a thing? How could I stand on my hind two legs and say, "He said it"? He says it. What's his prophet say? Here's what God did. What's Christ said to us? Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I have done. And here's what's going to happen. He did what he said he's going to do. He does it now. You think he's going to do it tomorrow? You think he's capable of saving his people and keeping them for eternity? He said so. I believe him. He's going to. And when that last one's called, or that last one dies, or however he sees fit, this world's done. Wad it up, throw it away. He's going to burn it. It's over. And we'll see him as he is. We'll be made like him. You will be a king and a priest. I'll be a king and a priest. Imagine that. That's what he's going to do. Prophet says what will happen. They say what has happened, and they bless the people of God by asking the Lord to bless them. God's prophets pray for God's people. They pray for His will to be done. They pray for His word to go out and not return void. And they pray for His people, for His saints. We learn that in Numbers 6. The Lord spake unto Moses, said, "Speak to Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise shall you bless the children of Israel, saying to them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee." How can you be kept? God's got to do it. "The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee." How are you going to see the Lord? How is grace going to come unto you? He has to give it. Grace for grace. He has to be gracious for you to understand what grace is, to ask Him to be gracious to you. "The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." When He's high and lifted up, you're going to have peace. If you're His, you'll either butt or bow. You either try to carve out your own righteousness and your own peace, or you'll bow to Him and say, "Amen. That's right where He should be. Good." He's high and lifted up, sitting on His throne. Wonderful. Wouldn't have it any other way. "And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." I don't know if the Lord's going to bless me. You His? You're going to be blessed. He said so, didn't He? Here's one of the most precious things to me. Priests bring something to the Lord for the people. This high priest brought an offering. Brought something to Abraham. What was it? Well, it was something, same thing for Abraham as it was for God. All these priests throughout time, till the Lord came, they brought blood of bulls and goats, and they brought lambs, and then they brought turtle doves. They brought something living, and they killed something. Blood went everywhere, didn't they? What did this one bring? It says in verse 18, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine." That's different, isn't it? Isn't this a long time before Christ came? This is a long time before the Lord's Supper came, wasn't it? This great high priest, this great king, this great prophet brought bread and wine. What did Christ offer to the Lord on our behalf? His broken body and His shed blood. What does He give to His children? His broken body and His shed blood. I don't know what to do with that. Well, He tells us, take, eat. Two words. Take, eat. This is My body that's broken for you. This is My blood which is shed for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Every time you eat, every time you drink, be on a hot day, drink water. He gave me the water of life, because he laid down his life. We're going to see this soon on Wednesday night. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, throughout John, this is one of the truly, trulys, verily, verily. We need to pay attention double time. I say unto you, except ye eat my flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, you have no life in you. Why took the Lord's table? That ain't what he's talking about. You'll do that. I've been baptized. You'll do that. You obey him. He's talking about his body, his blood. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Why do you take the Lord's table? Because you already got life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Are you okay with that man reigning over you in all things? I mean, that's the authority. The great high potentate. That means the authority, not a authority. He is the authority. He's the king. And he's the priest. He's the only one that make intercession. And he's the prophet. You going to learn anything? You going to learn from him? They shall be taught of God. Didn't we look at that Wednesday? Are you okay with that? I am. God's people are. They wouldn't have it no other way. Thank you, Lord. You gave me a king. I don't have to rule myself. I'd mess it up. You gave me a priest. I don't have to make intercession. I can't. I'm a sinner. Oh, you gave me a prophet to teach me these things. To show me what your word is. Him having preeminence above everything. Our great prophet, priest, and king. Turn over to Psalm 110. This is the only other time it's mentioned. Other than Hebrews 5 and 6 reference, what David wrote here, but other than Hebrews 7, Psalm 110 is the only time this is mentioned. Psalm 110. Verse 1. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord Jehovah, said unto my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is something that has taken place before this world ever was. This is something that's sure and took place while it happened here on this earth, and it's happening right now and forevermore. This same Jesus will be prophet, priest, and king. God said so. He said so. Would it benefit us to see Christ declared in the Word, exalted high, revealed in our hearts before we ever had a victory or before we ever had a trial? Would it do us good after a trial to have this? Yeah. Oh, much more so after a victory. You get a big promotion. Go seek the Lord being high and lifted up. That's good advice. The bank makes it like Monopoly. The bank made an error in your favor. Go seek the Lord high and lifted up. See him as your prophet, priest, and king. Well, King of Sodom's going to come. We ain't got time for it. But you walk out that door, King of Sodom's out there. We just had 3 short verses. King of Sodom's out there. He's going to try to give you everything I just told you already has been given. What a thought. Hope we can laugh at him. Next time we might look at the tithe. Did Abram keep the law? We always read about that, don't we? Abram, well, they tithed in the loins of Abram, didn't they? Because Abram tithed to Melchizedek. Did he keep the law? Law wasn't there yet, was it? Law wasn't there yet. Melchizedek was a priest. They weren't any priests yet. The law hadn't come. He gave before those 12 tribes were ever born. Isn't that something? Was Abram free from a law? He sure was, wasn't he? Nothing's changed. God changes not. Let's pray together.